الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صلي وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبعد All praise due to Allah And we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad, His companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path As to what follows, continuing with the Aqidah al-Wasitiyya of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah And the context of our discussion in the previous, I believe, 2 to 3 sessions was that of seeing Allah Can Allah be seen in this dunya? Sure? Did anyone attempt to see Allah? Did anyone try, ask, but it didn't work? Who was he? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Is it in the Quran or the Sunnah? It's in the Quran. What happened?
He's not able to.
What was the, when he asked Allah that he wanted to see, he asked Allah to see him. What did Allah tell him? He said, if you can see this mountain in the mountain, it will be there. Then you can be. But what happened? The mountain, I think, is not able to be on the earth. Why? Because it's not possible to see God in this life. Actually, the ayah is very explicit, right, in terms of what happened. قَالَ لَن تَرَانِي وَلَكِنْ أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي.
He said, you will not be able to see me, but look at the mountain. If the mountain remains intact, then you will be able to see me. Then it says, فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ Then when his Lord, Musa's Lord, revealed himself to the mountain crushed. So then what happened was, as the ulama say, Allah, you know, showed or just a small tiny part of his majesty to the mountain and that was it for the mountain. It didn't take more than that. Let alone seeing Allah. You know, seeing Allah altogether. That would, you know, would, the whole thing would be gone. But just the small portion of the greatness of Allah and His majesty and the mountain crushed. And so the ayah is explicit in the terms that Allah revealed some of His majesty to the mountain. And the mountain wasn't able to handle it. A whole mountain, let alone a human being. Made of flesh and bones. So then that basically, and Musa fainted, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then when he woke up, you know, he said, you know, Subhanak, glory be to you, you're above any imperfection, this is not possible. But in the life to come, people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the Shaykh said, وَهُنَاكَ آيَةٌ خَامِسَةٌ إِسْتَدَلَّ بِهَا الشَّافِعِيُّ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ وهي قوله تعالى في الفجار كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون There's a fifth ayah because we have quoted four so far which is used to prove that Allah will be seen by the believers on the Day of Judgment and this particular ayah that is used we're actually deducing or not we Imam Shafi'i deduced this understanding from the context of the ayah The context of the ayah is speaking about the fujjar. Fujjar, fajara, yanfajir. This is a, by the way, alaykum salam. You will find that I will become a little more particular about words because of listening to our brother Nu'man. Alhamdulillah, we benefited from the brother in terms of the words. So in case you, I'm not suddenly, you know, over-educated. I'm just trying to pick up here and there from things that we can be benefited if you haven't been listening to him so far. You know, the word infajara, Infijar, Fajr, all of them are actually from the same root word, having to do with something that becomes ripped open. That's why it's called Fajr, because it rips open the night and then the day comes through. Infijar, explosion, because it rips open something completely, right? So here, the actual, how did I get there? Fujjar, why are they called Fujjar? Because they are defiantly disobedient. Their form of disobedience and transgression against Allah's rights is not minor. It's like an explosion. It's like it's ripping open or ripping through the obedience into disobedience. So they became fujjar, right? So now you see how amazing the when you come across all these words, fajr, infijar, infajarat. Even in the Quran, it comes about the rocks when Musa struck the rock. Infajarat minhu, 12 founts, you know, or came for the children of Israel, all of the same word, has to do with Fajr. So now you know why it's called Fajr, right? And why they called Fujar. Inna al-Fujara lafi, inna kitab al-Fujara lafi sijjin, in Surah al-Mutaffifin. Right? Inna al-Abrara lafi na'im, wa inna al-Fujara lafi jahim. So defiantly disobedient. Not your average wicked person, super wicked. Super wicked, a'udhu billah. Allah said concerning them, nay, kalla, no, they, particularly they, عن ربهم, concerning their Lord, regarding their Lord, يوم إذن, on that day, محجوبون, they will be veiled. They will be veiled. They will be prevented from seeing. What does that mean? When Allah specified, it is those people who will not be able to see Allah, meaning those who are not fujjar will be able to see Allah. Because the ayah says, إِنَّهُمْ, they particularly will be prevented from seeing Allah. Allah will veil Himself from them, which means that others are not veiled. Otherwise, there will be no point in mentioning that. If no one will be able to see Allah, then what's particular about them not being able to see Allah? Why would they be veiled? You see that? Amazing. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he deduced that from the ayah. ووجه الدلالة أنه ما حجب هؤلاء في الغضب إلا رأه أولئك في الرضا. The way we understand this is that he did not veil himself from those fujjar due to anger, except that he has revealed himself unto those who were good out of pleasure. It's like, you know, the other way around. فإذا كان أهل الغضب محجوبين عن الله فأهل الرضا يرون الله عز وجل. So if the people of anger, those whom Allah is angry with, will be veiled from Allah, then the people who are whom Allah is pleased with will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَذَا إِسْتِدْلَالٌ قَوِيٌّ جِدًّا. What does that mean? This is a very strong deduction of the verse, a very strong evidence, presenting evidence in this fashion, that it doesn't have to be deliberate. Like in the other ayah, it's clear. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. It cannot be interpreted in any other way. Faces on that day are radiant, shining, illuminating. إِلَى رَبِّهَا, to its Lord, نَاظِرَةٌ, looking. Clear. This one, we have to get it from the other way, you know. لم يكن مزيا لذكر هؤلاء لأنه لو كان الكل محجوبين لم يكن مزيا لذكر هؤلاء. If everyone was veiled, there'd be no special mention for these people being prevented. Everyone would be prevented from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وعلى هذا فنقول الآيات خمس. Now with that said, we say the ayat are five. Who remembers them, or who can enumerate them? Okay, it's homework for next time, because I'm sure probably you don't. Homework for next time. I will pop quiz you. Well, it's not a pop quiz anymore because I told you. But right, it may be a pop quiz where you need to quote five ayat, at least in English, minimum in English, preferably the Arabic verse with the English interpretation. It's a very sorry. Most of them are brief. It's not like a huge verse. So I think, brothers, you'll be able to do it. It'll be good to have this, you know, in the back of your mind. طيب. The Shaykh said, however, وَيُمْكِنْ أَن نُلْحِقَ بِهَا قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَفْوًا لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارُ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارُ. We may, however, add another ayah so that we will have six. The Imam Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah quoted four. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah added the fifth one, which he mentioned as a statement of the Shafi'i. And now he's saying we can add a sixth one as well, that we can get from the Quran to prove that the believers will see Allah. The ayah is in Surah Al-An'am, verse 103. Now listen to this. Vision perceives him not. To be more particular, actually, this translation should be said, vision encompasses him not. However, he perceives all vision, or he encompasses all vision. According to what we will use later to refute those who deny that the believers will see Allah. فهذا قول أهل السنة والجماعة أهل السنة في رؤية الله تعالى وأدلتهم وهي ظاهرة جلية لا ينكرها إلا جاهل أو مكابر. We will not deal with the explanation now. The Shaykh will use this ayah to refute those who deny this later, and we will see the tafsir of this ayah later on inshallah. He said, for now, this is the statement, this is the belief, the creed of the people of the Sunnah concerning seeing Allah and the evidences they use thereof. It is clear, uncut. None denies it except an ignorant or a stubborn person. Either ignorant or arrogant. No third option. No third option. Either someone doesn't understand the deen, doesn't understand the Quran, doesn't understand the clear indications of the text of the Quran, or someone who's stubborn and arrogant. He knows, he just doesn't want to accept because of some ill belief system which he holds. Whoa! Next time the phone rings, I will do nothing. Alhamdulillah. وخالفهم في ذلك طوائف من أهل التعطيل من الجهمية والمعتزلة والأشاعرة وغيرهم واستدلوا بأدلة سمعية متشابهة وأدلة عقلية متداعية. The Sheikh said, أهل السنة were opposed by a group of sects among the people of تعطيل. Who remembers what تعطيل means? تحريف is distorting. تعطيل.
Denying.
We said سيارة معطلة, a car that is broken, you're denying functionality. Right? Malfunctioning. It's like it doesn't work, it doesn't work, it doesn't apply. Among the Jahmites and the Mu'tazilites and the Ash'arites. And remember I told you whenever in English we get a name, you want to turn it into an English, you add ites. Shi'ites, Mu'tazilites, Ash'arites, this is the way they do it. Interesting but effective. they use Adilla Sam'iyya. Who remembers what Adilla Sam'iyya means? We explained this thoroughly before. Maybe you don't remember, but let's see. We said Adilla Sam'iyya. And we said Sam'a, what does Sam'a mean? Hearing. And why do we call it Adilla Sam'iyya? What does it mean? Brothers, where's the homework? We said there are textual evidences. When we say Adilla Sam'iyya, we're speaking about the Quran and the Sunnah. Why are they called Sam'iyya? Because the principle is that they were heard. The Quran was recited. The hadith was narrated verbally before it was written down. So it's Sam'a, it's something that you hear. Consequently, they call it Adilla Sam'iyya, which really means textual evidence. Now, when you say text, what does it mean? Something that is written. But in Arabic we're saying it's like audible evidence, if you really want to be technical in the translation. But what is intended is the Quran and the Sunnah. When you hear Adilla Sam'iyya, and that has been explained before, ma fi mushkila. So they use mutashabiha, doubtful, confusing, unclear, ambiguous textual evidences. Something that is not clearly indicative, but may be deduced through some ways. وَأَدِلَّ عَقْلِيَّ and then fabricated intellectual, logical evidences. So to refute Ahl Sunnah, they either bring some verse which really doesn't apply, and they deny its effectiveness, and give another interpretation, so they will prove their point, or they will use some logical argument to deny a textual evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, which is clear in its indication. Okay, this is their way of refuting the Muslims and Ahl Sunnah particularly. The Shaykh said, أَمَّا الْأَدِلَّةَ سَمْعِيَ. Let us see what they have. What is their misconception? Why have they denied the fact that Muslims will see Allah, even though we have narrations in Bukhari and Muslim, which we will deal with later on inshallah, where the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, they said, will we see our Lord? He said, do you have a problem looking at the sun or the moon on a clear night? Do you have a problem looking at the moon? Do you have any difficulty looking at the moon? They said, no. He said, you will see your Lord like that. You know, no, I mean, you can't go. I mean, how are you going to interpret it? You can't escape it. It's clear like the sun. Other narrations, clear like the sun, that Muslims, the believers, will see Allah. and it's clear that they will see Allah. This is besides the Quranic verses. So why do these people deny? Because of the disease, the philosophical disease which they have adopted from the Greeks and other philosophers who had the imagery of man in God. Whenever they thought of God, they persisted on the idea that he must be some human being or human-like. So these people wanted to supposedly free Allah from this resemblance, so they went to the opposite extreme and they denied everything, claiming that we're trying to protect Allah from likening him to his creation. This is the disease. We said, how do we refute them? Ya akhi, there's nothing like Allah. What's your problem? Even when Allah says that the believers will see Allah, or that Allah has a face, or that Allah has hands, there's nothing like Allah. Why do you insist on thinking of a human being, then having to reject that? Don't think about a human being. Your problem is solved. Subhanallah. But they don't get it. But the first evidence, Surah Al-A'raf verse 143, guess what? This is the one we quoted earlier. وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وكلمه ربه قال ربي أرني أنظر إليك قال لن تراني ولكن انظر إلى الجبل فإن استقر مكانه فسوف تراني فلما تجلى ربه للجبل جعله دكا وخر موسى صعقا. And when Musa arrived for the appointed time and his Lord spoke to him and said now Musa said, he said, my Lord, allow me to look at you. Allah told him, you will not be able to see me, but look at the mountain. If the mountain remains in its place, then you will be able to see me. So when his Lord revealed himself onto the mountain crushed, and Musa fell and fainted. He fell unconscious. عليه الصلاة والسلام. ووجه الدلالة أن لن للنفي المؤبد والنفي خبر وخبر الله تعالى صدق لا يدخله النسخ. Now this is very technical. Very technical, very sensitive. Now what did they say? They said the point that they're using here is the letter, let's call it a letter, or we would probably call it something else in English, like call it more like a preposition, len. Len means negation, but it also carries the meaning of eternity. Okay? So they said, Allah said len, which is eternal negation. And the ayah says, لَن تَرَانِ, meaning you will never, ever see me. This is what they're saying. وَالنَّفِي, and negation is khabar, it's information. And the information from Allah is true. And it cannot be abrogated. Meaning Allah will not say something and abrogate it afterwards concerning news. What gets abrogated? Rulings. Right? There's alcohol in the beginning of Islam. There's no alcohol during Salah. At the end, there's no alcohol, period. Rulings get abrogated, but information about the future doesn't get abrogated. This is from the agreed upon among the ulama. So they're saying, len means never, eternal never, eternal negation. It's information, news concerning the future. It cannot be abrogated. So then the ayah cannot change, meaning you will never see Allah. Now this is their argument. وَالرَّدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ وُجُوهِ. Refuting them is approached from a number of angles, number of ways. الأول منع كون لن للنفي المؤبد لأنه مجرد دعوة. First we say, لن is not eternal negation. And that statement of yours is simply a claim. It does not carry the meaning of eternal negation. قال ابن مالك في الكافية. Ibn Malik said in his poem الكافية, used to explain the Arabic language, ومن رأى النفي بلن مؤبدا فقوله أردد وسواه فعضدا. Whosoever says that لن is eternal negation, then his statement rejected, and the other one hold on to it with your teeth. Meaning لن does not, in the language now, linguistically, and we will have evidences from the Quran. From the Quran, does the Sheikh mention it? Hey, no, the Sheikh doesn't mention it. Oh, it's amazing. I will mention it to you, inshallah, maybe on the site. Bye. Len does not carry the eternal meaning that they are claiming. Who knows why? There's an evidence in the Quran. Who knows Surah Al-Jumu'ah? Surah Al-Jumu'ah. What did Allah say about the Jews? Ya Bani, يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء صح لله من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين. What does it say then? ولن يتمنوه أبدا. And they will never wish for death. Now this is important. You don't remember the ayah? Surah Al-Jum'ah. Ya Jama'ah, help me out here. I'm not on my own. Surah Al-Jum'ah, you know, we should at least be familiar with, you know, Surah Al-Jum'ah. The ayah mentions that Allah spoke about the Jews. If you claim that you are special people to Allah, besides the rest of the creation, then wish death if you are truthful. Then Allah said, and they will never wish for it, بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, because they know what their hands have put forth. Right? Wallahu alimun bil-zalimin. Allah knows the wrongdoers. The ayah says, وَلَيْ يَتَمَنَّوْا, they will never wish for death. And if we were to apply the meaning of the ayah, meaning they will never ever wish for death. However, Allah told us later on that the people in the hellfire, what would they say? وَقَالُوا يَا مَالِكْ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكْ. They said, oh Malik, let your Lord destroy us, let us die. So even though they had said before, Allah said that they will never wish for death, they wind up wishing for death in the life to come. So then is not eternal. You see that? Beautiful. You with me or I'm on my own planet? We're all on the same planet, alhamdulillah. In the Quran, lan was used to indicate that same meaning of eternal negation. However, we learn in the Quran that something that Allah used lan for was later changed, meaning it doesn't mean for eternity. So now it's the same thing. The same way these people said that, you know, Allah told Musa, you will not see me in the dunya, lan in the dunya, but he will be seen in the hereafter. The Jews today will never wish for death, but once they're in the hellfire, they will beg for death. So lan is not eternal. It doesn't go on and on and on. There's a period, it's a long time, but it's not eternal. Kapish? Ma'lum?
Something because of that one ayah in Surah Jumu'ah. Is that the proof that Islam is not eternal?
Yes. But that's the strongest. This is in the Quran. I mean, the usage of the Quran is decisive. If we had to go elsewhere, fetch for it, I mean, you know, it may be arguable. But now that it's in the Quran, Allah used it and mentioned that Allah knows, you know, the choice of words. When he said لَنْ يَتَمَنَّوْا, then he said that they wish for it, mean the خلاص, it's over. Anyways, the Shaykh didn't mention it. I think it will come later on. So just be patient. But this is just a preview of what happened. So the first evidence is لَنْ is not eternal. So now their claim is bogus, which is what the ayah says, that Allah told Musa, you will never ever ever see me. We say this is incorrect, because the interpretation is not you will never ever see me. You will not see me for a long time in the dunya, but in the life to come, there's a whole other situation. Jameel. الثاني أن موسى عليه السلام لم يطلب من الله الرؤيا في الآخرة. Musa did not ask of Allah to be seen in the life to come. وإنما طلب رؤيا حاضرة. He wanted a live look, something during his time, not in the life to come. لقوله أرني أنظر إليك. He said, my Lord, allow me to look at you. Is he speaking about the day of judgment? No. He's speaking about right then and there. He was speaking about that live moment. أي الآن, meaning now. فقال الله تعالى لن تراني. Allah told him in that context, لن تستطيع أن تراني الآن. You can't see me now. The context is in that present tense then, which is in the past now. It was present then. The reply was in the present. You want to see me now? You cannot see me now. There's no reference to the life to come. No mention of the life to come. Amazing. ثم ضرب الله له مثلا بالجبل حيث تجلى الله تعالى له فجعله دكا. Then Allah struck for him the example of the mountain, and when Allah exposed some of His Majesty to the mountain crushed. فقال ولكن انظر إلى الجبل فإن استقر مكانه فسوف تراني. Allah told him, nay, but look at the mountain, if it remains intact, then you'll be able to see me. فلما رأى موسى ما حصل للجبل علم أنه هو علم أنه هو لا طاقة له برؤية الله. So Musa himself, when he saw the mountain crush, he realized that he has no power to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. وخر صائقا لهول ما رأى, and he fainted, he fell unconscious because of the greatness of what he saw, of what the mountain crushing, the mountain crushing. Subhanallah. ونحن نقول, and we say, إن رؤية الله تعالى في الدنيا مستحيلة. We say, seeing Allah in this life, in this worldly life, is impossible. Impossible. لأن الحال البشرية لا تستطيع تحمل رؤية الله عز وجل. The human nature, the human structure today is unable to see Allah. It is beyond our physical ability to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كيف وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربه حجابه النور لو كشفه لأحرقت سبحات وجهه منتهى إليه بصره من خلقه. How when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had said concerning his Lord that his veil is light, if he was to remove it then the glory of his face will burn whatever his sight will reach among his creation. The glory of Allah Azza wa Jal, the majesty of Allah, it will burn up everything that his sight will reach. And does Allah's sight have any limitation? No. Meaning if Allah was to remove the veil between him and the creation now, everything will be toasted. Everything will be burnt. But the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has placed a veil of light so that that doesn't happen. Because in the endurance-wise, human endurance today, we're unable. But is it the same in the life to come? Today, can you stand in the street in the sun for 50,000 years? In your perspiration, impossible. You will faint in maybe a few hours. You will die on the spot. But on the day of judgment, people will stand for 50,000 years with the sun right above their head. The sun, which is so far away right now, will be right above the people's head. No one will faint. There'll be no emergency, no ambulance, no hospitals, you know, rushing people. This person, you know, he got a sunstroke. No. Everyone will be able to endure. Why? Because the reality of the day of judgment and the life to come is unlike that of the dunya. So if we don't see Allah in the dunya, we can't. It doesn't mean that we can't see Allah in the life to come, because the nature, the situation is different. Very clear. I don't think anyone will have any issues with that, inshallah. Jameel. أما رؤية الله تعالى في الآخرة فممكنة. As for seeing Allah in the life, in the hereafter, then it is possible. لأن الناس في ذلك اليوم يكونون في عالم آخر تختلف فيه أحوالهم عن حالهم في الدنيا. People on that day will be in different conditions, unlike those that they are having today in the dunya. كما يعلم ذلك من نصوص الكتاب والسنة. As this is clear and known from the textual evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah. فيما يجري للناس في عرصات القيامة وفي مقرهم في دار النعيم أو الجحيم. Concerning what will happen to the people on the day of judgment, at various events of the day of judgment, and what will happen to them in terms of their final abode, either in paradise or in the hellfire. Everything is unlike the human ability today. We cannot endure it. Like, you know, right now, if you were to burn wal'iyadhu billah in the fire, how long will you survive? How long will you be able to burn for? A few minutes. Then khalas, your ashes. You will definitely die. Your body will have to become ashes. Can someone continue to burn and burn and maintain anything? You will be decomposed. You will be gone. But in the life to come, people will continue to burn in Jahannam for eternity. Never will their bodies become unable to carry out the torture of the fire. Their skin will be replaced, لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ, so they may taste the punishment again. But in terms of their body being destroyed, this will never happen. So again, you know, there's a difference between today and the life to come. الْوَجْهُ الثَّالِثِ. So far we have refuted these people from two angles. First, this ayah you guys quoted saying لَن means eternally is incorrect. And we have evidences from the Quran which negate that claim of yours. Second, Musa didn't ask to see Allah in the life to come. He asked to see Allah in the dunya. So what are you talking about? Where do you bring that from? Thirdly, أن يقال استحالة رؤية الله في الآخرة عند المنكرين لها مبنية على أن إثباتها يتضمن نقصا في حق الله تعالى. Those يعني the impossibility of seeing Allah in the life to come among those who deny it is based on the fact that to them affirming it is deficiency in the rights of Allah, deficiency in the greatness of Allah. Those who deny it, their state of mind is, if we affirm that we will see Allah, this is belittling Allah. So their basis on which they're denying seeing Allah is what they're trying to raise Allah above the imperfection of being seen. Because to them, seeing Allah is an imperfection. See this sick mentality? كَمَا يُعَلِّلُونَ نَفْيَهُمْ بِذَلِكَ. This is according to their what? Their own justification. Meaning they will tell you, you know, if you know, we don't see Allah. Because if you see Allah, then Allah becomes like an object, like the creation, and that is belittlement to Allah's majesty, and so no, we cannot see Allah. Because once you say we see Allah, meaning Allah is an object, Allah is something, and once you have this, then Allah is like the creation, because the creation is something, so we want to leave all that alone, so we don't see Allah. You see this odd understanding? It continues to amaze me. But really, these people are abundant. These people are the majority of Muslims, not the minority. Those who don't agree with them are the minority. You go to the average Muslim in the world, in any country, among 10 you will ask, maybe one or two who are upon the fitrah may accept these. Anyone who's been taught otherwise, usually by the, you know, the Diobandis and the Sufis and their Asha'ira, which usually run the whole thing, they will reject this in totality. They will make a big fitna if you were to say that Allah, I mean, a video. I have a video called Where's Allah? You guys have seen it before, right? I mean, it's based on the dars which we've been having that Allah is above the throne. You know what comment someone left me? The comment which I found on YouTube was, Kafir, Kafir, you are a Kafir, Allah will destroy you. 3 times, he made takfir on me. 3 times he called me a Kafir, and then he declared that Allah will destroy me. Because I simply said that Allah is above the throne, above the, you know, as Allah mentioned in the Quran. Right? I went to his channel, everyone to him who believes what we believe is a Wahhabi. And he actually made a video and he got me in there, which was, you know, an honor for me. That somebody went out of his way to get clips from my video where he's quoted me, you know, speaking about, you know, these people. And he has, you know, these are, he said, we are the shayateen. Right? So he got me, Bilal Phillips, Abdurrahim Green, different people who were speaking on the issue of, you know, warning people from shirk. Anyone who speaks against shirk for him is a mushrik, right? And this is the person's belief system. He goes around fetching for people like us, and he declared kufr on me 3 times. And I replied to him and said, listen man, unfortunately, you know, you don't know what's going on. According to the Prophet ﷺ, if you declare kufr upon a person and he doesn't deserve it, it will fall back on you. So are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? You know, to come and say this outrageous statement? I would not. Look how careful the Ahl Sunnah are. We will not make takfir on him. Even though his belief system is that of kufr, but we find excuses for him. He's ignorant, no one taught him, he didn't understand. We try to find an exit for the person, and we don't rush to do takfir. On the other hand, they immediately rush to do takfir on us. Now this is the majority of the Muslim Ummah, unfortunately. And then we don't wonder why we are in the situation we are in. When we don't know who our Lord is, and where He is, and what He is, if the most basic concept of life, which is knowing Allah, is lost among the Muslims, then on what basis are we going to unite and fight an enemy when half of the people are sleeping during Fajr? Right? 2 rows in the Salah. Asr, you know, Dhuhr, 16 rows. Fajr, 1 row, 2 rows. We don't have the majesty of Allah instilled in our hearts. It's like, who cares, man? Flight? Oh! I'll be up an hour ahead, you know, brushing my teeth and looking good, everything. Why I'm flying, brother? I'm going on a picnic. But wake up for Salat al-Fajr, maybe once a week, twice a week. 5 days a week, the pillow is more comfortable. That's the reality of the Muslim Ummah today. Not everyone, alhamdulillah, not everyone. There's a group of people on the truth. But this is why we have lost our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want to get back on track, then you need to know the Quran. And one of the best ways to do it in English is Nu'man Ali Khan. Really, wallahi, if you listen to the tafsir of Surah Al-Fajr, ajeeb. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَا ابْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَا ابْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا كَلَّا بَلْ لَا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. Listen to the tafsir of these ayat. Unbelievable. Unbelievable depiction of the reality and the condition of the son of Adam. I'm going off track, but this is Iman. The dars is not just academic, I just give you the book and you go home and sleep. We're trying to increase our Iman. So I may give you something off the subject. You have to bear with me, I'm the teacher, unfortunately for you. Next time get another teacher who will stick to the book. Now listen to this. I was just listening to this today. Here's what happens to one of us, right? Once we... if Allah gives us fulus, money, honor among the people, akraman, you know, if Allah gives us what we like, we say, Rabbi, Allah honored me. Why? I deserve it. We don't mention the blessings of Allah, but the mind state is, I deserve it. I'm special to Allah. Consequently, I have everything I have. Even the most evil of people, by the way, they believe that they were chosen by God. And he mentioned the Hindus and the Christians and so forth. But even among the Muslims, you know, he said, we are embarrassed. We are embarrassed of our financial condition. This is what is our level of honoring. If your car is, you know, old and raggedy, it's like you want to run away, right? They drop me off, you know, and on the corner. Don't go in front of my friends. You know, if your father has an old car and he wants to drop you off, come on now. You know, Dad, just drop me off down the street, I will walk. Because it's embarrassing, it's humiliating to us that we what? Not our Iman or whether we are practicing or not. No, no, no. Dunya, material. However, if Allah withholds according to His wisdom, qaddar, and He mentioned why the term was used, which is an accurate yani arrangement of wealth. Not that Allah will give you something that take away something you deserve. You didn't deserve it anyways. He just didn't give you something. Then we say, my Lord has humiliated me. My Lord has disgraced me. So we automatically associate not being given what we want, that Allah is not pleased with us. You know? So what happens, the Shaykh said, the brother said, inshallah he'll be a Shaykh soon, that we then rebel. What the person thinks to himself, oh yeah, Allah doesn't want to do this for me. He's not giving me halal. Okay, I will get it my own way. I try to be good. Allah didn't give me. Okay, then I'm going to get it my own way. Wallah, then he starts getting into haram. Then he will deliberately rebel against Allah. He will become rebellious because Allah didn't give me what I want. So it's like, look man, you are the slave. And he's your master. You don't understand this concept. A slave doesn't own jack. You don't own a slave. You are the slave. He's your master. Whatever he gives you is a gift. Whatever he doesn't give you, you didn't deserve anyways. Who are you? When did you sign a contract that Allah, Allah, you will give me eyes and you will give me a mouth and you give me a body and give me wealth? When did you sign this contract? You don't have anything. He owns you. He's your master. Because we lost the concept of mastery that Allah has over us, so we have the nerve to rebel. Say, okay, are you not doing what I want? Okay, I'm going to do it my way. You see, this is so real though. Among the Muslims, this is the mentality. We try in the halal, it doesn't work, so we go to the haram. Why? That's Allah's fault. He didn't give me. Say, ajeeb, who are you? You know, son of Adam, who are you? Allah says, kalla, bal la tukrimu latim. No, the problem is that you don't even bother to show mercy to the orphan. And then he went into the Quraysh and their problem. And today it is manifest in our nationalism. You know? Like if somebody brings you tea, it's like some sickness in the Muslim does not allow you to honor someone who brings you tea. And this is among all nationalities. I thought it was among some of our people, you know? Particularly the Arabs. That they have this... But I found this in actually every nationality. Once someone is in a higher position, and a person from the same country who's of a lesser position comes to him, he treats him like junk. Even at a restaurant, I'm sitting with brothers who are practicing. His beard is like this, you know. And a brother from the same country comes to him with food. شيل هذا شيل هذا ودي جيب صحن. إيش يا أخي هذا؟ سبحان الله العظيم. Who are you? This is a person, a Muslim. You are a Muslim. What's wrong with you honoring a Muslim? Barakallah fik, excuse me, akhi, can you please give me a plate? He's a Muslim brother. You don't honor him? Why? Because you are working at a company and he is your waiter? So this sickness is instilled in the minds of the Muslims to the bone, regardless of nationality. And that is the problem. Not that we, you know, Allah is dealing with us according to our mentality. So once we rid ourselves from this sickness, and we know that taqwa is the level of the criteria of judgment here, then we will no longer be in this situation. We will realize that we are slaves to Allah, we have no right over Allah whatsoever. He has the rights over us, and we will no longer complain. Whether we're good or not, we will not say, Allah humiliated me or Allah honored me, we'll be happy and satisfied all the time. Amazing. But see, this we need in our lives. And this is from the tafsir of the Quran. How many times have you read Surah Al-Fajr? Since you were a Muslim, maybe hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times, you never felt this way about it. It never affected you this way. Why? We don't know what we're reading. Even if you read the basic translation in your language, it still doesn't go to this extent. But isn't this news to you right now from these ayat? I didn't know it. You see? So we need to get back in touch with the Quran. So we will know Allah Azza wa Jal and life will be good. Bidnillah Azza wa Jal. طيب. Yeah. So, نعم. نعم. وحينئذ يكون سؤال موسى عليه السلام لربه الرؤيا دائرة بين الجهل بما يجب لله ويستحيل في حقه أو الاعتداء في دعائه حين طلب من الله ما لا يليق به إن كان عالما بأن ذلك مستحيل في حق الله. Now this is very sensitive. The Sheikh said, with that said, the question of Musa posed to Allah is in one of these areas. Either it was based on ignorance concerning what is obligatory upon Allah. He didn't know, or something that is impossible. He didn't know that it's impossible in the right of for Allah to be seen. Or he was actually transgressing in the dua by asking Allah of that which he knows he shouldn't be asking for. Now we're in a situation when Musa asked Allah that he wanted to see Allah. Either he was ignorant concerning the fact that Allah cannot be seen in the dunya, or he knew, however he transgressed in the dua by asking Allah of something which is not rightfully his. Which one is it? The first. Is it possible that Musa will know that Allah cannot be seen and he will still ask for it? Subhanallah. So, وحينئذ يكون هؤلاء النافون أعلم من موسى بما يجب الله تعالى ويستحيل في حقه وهذا غاية الضلال. Then according to this, these people who deny that Allah can be seen, they're claiming now that they are more knowledgeable than Musa. And this is the epitome of misguidance. Now they're claiming that they know better than Musa. Musa didn't know, but they knew that this is, you know, something that cannot be done. They knew that Allah can never be seen, but Musa still asked for it. So Musa was ignorant. They are better guided than Musa. Unbelievable. وَهَكَذَا وَبِهَذَا الْوَجْهِ تَبَيْنَنَا فِي الْآيَةِ دَلِيلًا عَلَيْهِمْ لَا دَلِيلًا لَهُمْ. So now the ayah becomes an evidence against them, not an evidence for them. It's an evidence against them. وَهَكَذَا كُلُّ دَلِيلٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ الصَّحِيحَةِ يُسْتَدَلُّ بِهِ عَلَى بَاطِلٍ أَوْ نَفِي حَقٍّ فَسَيَكُونُ دَلِيلًا عَلَى مَنْ أَوْرَدَهُ لَا دَلِيلًا لَهُ. Consequently, every evidence from the Quran and the authentic Sunnah which is used to support some sort of falsehood or to deny the truth will become an evidence against the one who is using it, not an evidence for him. Anyone who tries to get an ayah from the Quran or a hadith and try to twist it so that they will support their falsehood, that same ayah or hadith is actually an evidence against them, not an evidence for them. This is the way it is. And who, but who needs to do that? The scholars. Who's able to depict that misinterpretation, that misusage, and refute it and explain the truth? The scholars. That's why we need to be attached to the scholars. You don't ask the average, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry. Not everyone knows this. You come and speak to the average person, he will get confused and he will confuse you. We have to refer back to the ulama, those who were grounded in knowledge. طيب. والدليل الثاني لنفات رؤية الله تعالى قوله تعالى لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار وهو لطيف الخبير. The second ayah which they use as an evidence, the one we quoted earlier, that vision does not encompass him, does not perceive him, however he perceives all vision, and he is the well acquainted, the most gentle. والرد عليهم أن الهاء الآية فيها نفي الإدراك والرؤية لا تستلزم الإدراك. The ayah has the negation of encompassment of vision and not simply vision. This is very important. Okay? لا تدرك الأبصار, the encompassment of the vision, not simply vision. ألا ترى أن الرجل يرى الشمس ولا يحيط بها إدراكا. Now, do you see the sun? When you're here on land, do you see the sun? Can you encompass the sun with your sight? Are you able to see the sun all around? Do you know everything concerning the sun? No. So is there a difference between simply seeing something and encompassment of that thing? Yes, there is. So the ayah is speaking about what? You can encompass Allah in your sight. It doesn't mean you cannot see Him. The same way you can, for example, I can see the carpet. But do I know how many fibers are in there? Am I able to see the dust particles within it? Do I know everything and concern? No. So the simple vision and the encompassment of the vision are two separate entities. So what the ayah is denying is the encompassment per the word. لا تدركه الأبصار. Not لا تراه الأبصار. Didn't say the vision does not see him. It says لا تدركه. When Allah wanted to speak about seeing, He used رؤية, نظر, seeing, looking. You see that? Amazing, amazing. فإذا أثبتنا أن الله تعالى يرى لم يلزم أن يكون يدرك بهذه الرؤية. If we prove, affirm that Allah can be seen, it doesn't mean we'll be able to encompass Allah عز وجل through that vision. لأن الإدراك أخص من مطلق الرؤية. Because encompassment is more specific and particular than the general meaning of رؤية or seeing. ولهذا نقول, this is why we say, إن نفي الإدراك يدل على وجود أصل الرؤية. Rather, the ayah again is used against them. The fact that Allah negated encompassment of vision is indicative that there must be some sort of vision. But what is denied is the encompassment of the vision. You see? So the ayah itself, the fact that Allah wanted to negate encompassment is only to explain that there is a lower kind of vision which is applicable, but not the encompassment. So the very ayah became a refutation against them. لأن نفي الأخص يدل على وجود الأعم. Negating that which is specific necessitates the indication of that which is, or the existence of that which is more general and encompassing. ولو كان الأعم منتفيا لوجب نفيه. And even if that which is more general was negated, then it will become necessary to negate it. وقيل لا تراه الأبصار لأن نفيه يقتضي نفي الأخص ولا العكس. ولأنه لو كان العم منتفيا لكان نفي الأخص إبهاما وتلبيسا يتنزع عنه كلام الله عز وجل. This is a little confusing. وعلى هذا يكون في الآية دليل عليهم لا دليل لهم. Either way, the ayah becomes an evidence against them and not an evidence for them. طيب. So with that, we reach a point concerning, they have two textual evidences then that they are using to deny seeing Allah. One of Musa alayhi salatu salam, the other one in that the vision cannot encompass him, but he encompasses the vision. These were what? The textual evidences. What did we prove? That these same textual evidences are first being misinterpreted by them, and in them there's an indication against what they're saying. Now we will move on to the idea or the textual or the intellectual, if we want to call it intellectual, the nonsensical evidences that they use. The so-called logical evidences that they will use to reject the idea that believers will see Allah on the Day of Judgment. However, we will postpone that till next week, inshaAllah ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.